I'm just so tired of going on dates where I have to listen to guys go on and on about how they're turning their Twitter feeds into blogs, their blogs into books, and their books into Twitter feeds. It's exhausting. Stop pretending that your podcast is work, right?
From Studio 65 in our nation's capital, welcome to Season 3, Episode 15 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, March 18th, 2015. Sens Army has abandoned their tank. In fact, they've changed branches of the military completely. They're now all aboard the good ship HMCS Hamburglar.
Rabble, rabble.
And enjoying this playoff push for a playoff spot in a way that none of us would have believed at the All-Star break. We welcome your contact via email. We even got some this week. Also via Twitter, Facebook, the online forums, and the waiver wire. Boys, who's going to the game tomorrow?
I'm there.
So you're both going to be there early enough to get a Hamburglar mask from 1200?
Yeah.
The first 10,000 fans get a Hamburglar mask.
Yes, but it's not coming from the team. It's coming from the radio station.
Oh, is it?
They're the ones who are sponsoring it and paying for it. Yeah.
Not smart.
It's coming from the team. Oh.
TSN 1200.
TSN 1200.
Not Team 1200 anymore.
This marketing failed.
No, it's fairly. It's going to be all TSN 1200 people who are at the gates.
Oh,
handing
cool.
Them out. Yeah. Because they're wanting to make sure that they don't go to Boston fans. Because were you either of you at the last Boston game?
There's a good
There are a good number of them. So they want to make sure that they don't get them. So, yeah.
Did you see James Myrtle's tweet today?
Yeah.
Something along the lines of with all that's going on with the Hamburglar, I want to go and work. I want to go report on the Sens or something like that.
Yeah. If you can pull it up there. That's effectively it.
Yeah, I thought
this stuff is making it around the league.
Big style.
That's a big thing about this. It's everywhere now.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
You got it? Yeah.
James Myrtle, everyone in the rink wearing a Hamburglar mask and throwing hamburgers at the goalie? That's it, I'm covering the Senators.
James, you're welcome anytime.
If you want that over Vegas,
it's welcome anytime.
Well, that sure beats waffles and jerseys.
Exactly. And paper bags. Don't forget the paper bags.
Mm-hmm.
And booing their team off the ice or on the ice or whatever. Anyway, I won't be at the game tomorrow, but I'm glad you guys will be because you guys can do the game summary from inside the building. Give me the in-game
experience.
All
I can think of is last week.
I think it'll be fun. Yeah.
I said to you, I just hope this game next Thursday matters.
Especially because we just all went out and bought tickets ahead of time.
After we lost, I thought, oh no.
Yep.
Long shot for this to matter.
No.
Does now.
Four.
Now, how many... I have to ask this question. We'll get into this regular stuff, show stuff in a second. We're 4 points back of Boston with one game in hand. How many games behind... How many points behind Washington are we?
Because
I
see
seven with two.
We're seven?
Yeah.
Oh, they've been winning. Okay. But we have two games in hand against them. And we have one game against them as well.
We have one game against them.
Two games in hand.
Pittsburgh is starting to slide.
They are. But they're also getting Crosby back eventually.
I think Crosby's playing, but Malkin's out.
Oh, is it Malkin? I can't keep them all straight.
I think it's perfectly reasonable for the Senators to keep going on this Iron Man, Superman state and pretty much win all the rest of the games, right?
Well, I don't think we would have believed we would get to where we are now, so anything is certainly possible. If nothing else...
Everything is awesome!
Or at least possible. At least it's been entertaining,
which is all
you can ask for.
It's like, this is exactly... There's so much... going on. I just got a text from Jay's wife. He's like, and she's just, I'm coming to the game on the 29th. It's like, okay.
I
knew you were.
Which
well, it's the next one that we have.
Florida. Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
I'm going to be at the San Jose game, I think.
I think that's one of the few that I don't have left.
I'm there.
I think I'm at that one. I have it in, I need to check.
There's only a few left for you're me, there.
I have it in my phone, so but I have to check to see, make sure of that.
Yeah, it's a month. Yeah.
I hope about so. Two or three left.
I believe you do have that one.
I think so. So we'll see. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I got to pick up tickets to that one.
However, I can honestly say, I don't know how you go to 20 games a year. I'm exhausted having gone to what?
It's only 15 seven? Minutes from here. This is nothing.
No, it's just the time and effort. The time commitment is just astonishing.
I have nothing else going on.
Oh, okay. I do? I don't know. Maybe I do.
Look, well, you're always out fishing.
Those fish don't catch themselves. That's true. Red wine doesn't drink itself.
No, neither does what you have in your hand. Please explain.
Yeah, well, tonight's episode is brought to you by Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey from Woodruff Reserve.
Woodruff Reserve.
There's your local reference. Woodford Reserve.
It is a very, very nice bourbon. Kentucky bourbon.
So you shoot this, right?
Yes.
Well, if you're an amateur, you savor it, you enjoy it. Or not, as the case may be.
Ow! Ow!
All right. I think you might need a break from talking, so you'll just have one more thing to say, and then you can take a break from talking.
Game on!
Oh, boy.
Oh, for creep.
Game 66, the Senators were in Montreal to play Les Habitants. This was, they'd been home, but they were now away for just a couple of games before coming home and then going out on the road again. And this was a game this was the first of two games. And at the time, we were, the big talk before these two games was who's going to start in which one, because Anderson was playing and is he going to start one? Is he going to start one and Hamd will start the other? Which one will get it, et cetera, et cetera. As it turned out, Andrew Hammond took the game. And the game didn't start particularly well. By the end of the first period, the Senators were down 2-0, and it was, okay, we've got them right where we want them. False sense of security. Said by nobody, by the way, but Sens gave up 2 in the first.
That was quite the selly from P.K. Subban, too. They went up 1-0.
Oh, he really wants to support Pacioretty.
Have you noticed that when he scores that...
He turns away from the team?
He celebrates by himself and expects the team to come to him. And sometimes they don't. Hmm. Or they kind of take their time getting over there. It's not a big... Everybody celebrating.
Plekanec hates him.
I would think there are a number of people on the team who he has rubbed the wrong way repeatedly.
Plekanec really hates him.
So,
They fought.
It's all self-inflicted.
In practice, yep.
All self-inflicted. So we'll see what happens when Markov is gone. We'll have to see. I don't have a box score in front of me. I believe Erik Karlsson scored his first of two goals in the game in the second period. Between the second and third period, he had an interview with Brent Wallace. And Brent Wallace said, nice goal. And Erik Karlsson's reply was, thanks, I think I'll go store another one. Yeah. And he did.
That's when Amelia just lost her mind. He is getting the hat trick.
That was just, it was a beautiful moment. Because, I mean, it wasn't scripted. It was just, yeah, okay, thanks. I'll go get another one. Because you could tell he was pumped up. Mm-hmm. And the team was certainly doing better. And so they scored 5 unanswered goals. The Habs went up 2-0. And the Senators ended up winning 5-2.
Condra with the tying goal was beautiful, too.
Yeah, it was a fun game. I mean, the first period wasn't quite so much fun. A big surprise. But the rest of the game, very entertaining. And
they showed Moeller Doctor on after a goal was scored, stand up and cheer.
Okay,
you didn't see that?
No.
That was the caption contest.
No. No.
That wasn't him. Was it?
I'm sure Moeller Doctor. Congratulations, Paul. That was a good pose you did there. I know you said you're at home.
You're sucker punching me with stuff all night tonight. This is going to be fun. I didn't even know that these contests were going on. I don't even know which one of you was running it. So, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, was you?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I believe the caption, well, the guy was turning around taunting the fans with his hands up. I believe the winner, I don't have in front of me, but basically he was, "Sweet Hamburglar, good times never feel so good."
Oh, I knew he had a beer in either hand. I thought that was double fisting.
There's a lot of funny ones.
I thought this
was poor RSU kept wanting to know who he was, and I kept misdirecting them.
Oh.
It's like, it's Mueller Doctor. It is? Great. He says it's not him. Oh, it's Canuck. No, it's not him either. Oh.
Okay.
Is it Ivan?
Why do you torture people this way?
Yeah, well, why not?
Oh, okay. So that was that game. I didn't really...
He's torturing me enough.
I'm trying to keep the game summary short, so just a couple of points from each one of them. The next game...
Well, I'll summarize that game. EK greater than PK.
Well, that's not something that's exactly unknown. Yeah. But, our captain's better than their assistant captain. Alternate captain. I think they're calling them assistants this year, are they not? Because they don't have a captain.
Just give it to Patches. Patches is one hell of a player too.
Give full credit to him.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's a complete player and a decent human being, so yeah. Which is something you can't say for their star, which I'm doing air quotes for, defenseman. Anyway, moving on.
Just needs some containment there.
Needs some duct tape across his mouth.
Yeah. Next!
That would go well. Next is game 67. The next night, the Senators were on Long Island for their last visit to... Wait for it. The Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And in a pregame interview, I believe it was, with Eric Carlson, they were saying, what's it like to be in this building for your last time? And he goes, we've got some good memories from here, and we've played well. And he goes... May not be our last game. We may be here in the playoffs. Again, unrehearsed quote. Well played, sir.
Nice.
Well played.
Those are the best.
I was very impressed with that.
Who wants to hear rehearsed garbage?
Exactly. I don't want to hear a bunch of cliches, which is why I still think that Bobby Ryan is the best interview of all, because he just, whatever's on his mind is what he'll say. He's not malicious or anything. He's just, no, this is what I'm saying. I don't have any notes for this game because... I wasn't able to watch it. I was able to listen to it at points, but I wasn't able to watch it.
I remember going into this game, I was a little bit concerned in the fact that the fourth line gave us two double minors, one of which was Matt Pumple. So Pumple opens the scoring, of course, to prove me wrong.
There you go. Yep. He's just redeeming himself.
It's like, maybe you just put Greening in, whatever. No, never mind.
The way it is.
No. I do want to see Buddy Robinson, though.
We may still.
Well, yeah, I guess you've got it. But I've got questions on Cole Schneider.
I don't have anything on Bingo this week, but I'll see what I can do when we get to them.
Yeah.
I just ran out of time this week. I didn't have anything for Binghamton. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this particular game?
No, we won.
We won. Turris!
I don't remember any of this.
And then that was Friday night. Sunday.
Oh, look at that. Turris, Carlson, and Stone came together for a goal. Neat.
Okay, well, I can see that.
We'll get more to that, I guess.
Next game was Sunday, game 68. The Senators were in town. Sorry. Yeah, the Senators were in town, and so were the Flyers. I'll be fine. No, they were playing a long-distance game. They were playing it on NHL 15 over the internet.
Saskatoon.
Yeah, that's right. The game actually ended up going to a shootout. Yay, hooray.
JGP scored. Don't remember this, but I was there.
I only have notes on the shootout. The rest of the game, I didn't take any notes. I don't know why, but I didn't.
Because it's free.
Ryan scored a beauty just by slowing down. And then his unbelievably quick release was just, it's behind Emery.
Emery went for the poke check.
Yeah. Just
wait him out.
And Giroux got in close, and Hammond did a beautiful deflected up. And he's looking around to try and figure out where it was. And it was off to the side and behind him, and everything was fine.
Yeah.
Beautiful save.
That was exciting.
This was the game, Sunday night against the Flyers. This was the game where the hamburger was thrown onto the ice.
Yes.
After the shootout win.
So great.
And he went and picked it up, and he actually ended up tossing it into the stands.
Oh, did he?
As he was going off the ice, that little piece of walkway between the boards and the tunnel, he just tossed it up to the right.
I don't want this.
Or to the left, sorry. It was kind of funny.
I was glad. It was good sport for him to go pick that up.
Yeah,
exactly. Because that's the kind of stuff that gets people ejected from the arenas. And it's nice to see them kind of look at it and kind of like, yeah, you know what? This is funny.
This is funny. I like this.
And I think, I don't think you're going to get people ejected. As long as you're not doing it.
They did it after the game was over. They weren't doing it in the middle of the game.
Yeah, so it's
still.
Let's
players are on the ice. It's the grounds are there. They could.
They could, but well, this is a hat trick.
I'm glad they
hat
looked
trick
the other
what
way.
Happens.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be crazy tomorrow.
So that was
How many hamburgers are you sneaking in?
None.
Hot dogs are dollar hot dogs.
Because you got to eat the freaking thing.
Apparently that was special order because you think about that. How do you throw a hamburger on center ice and it land and stay intact?
You sit on it for 2.5 hours.
He ordered it during the second period, and it welded it to itself because it was in his pocket throughout the third period and overtime and the shootout.
It wasn't a McDonald's one.
No, it came from somewhere in the building, apparently.
Oh.
That's an expensive burger. It's not $1.29 or whatever a hamburger costs. I don't even know.
$5-$8 something.
Exactly.
Like that.
In the building, that's not a cheap thing. That's okay. That's rather generous of you, but well played, sir.
Okay, now's the time when they need to sell. And listen up, Senators. Dan, anyone? During the intermission or before the game, sell foam hamburgers and you can toss them.
Well, I don't...
They're going to avoid that.
It wasn't a Senators game. It was actually something that the 67s used to do, is they would sell foam pucks.
Yeah.
And they were
for the intermission.
And they were numbered.
Yeah.
And whoever got closest to the center dot or somewhere else won whatever the prize was. And it was usually, Sens Foundation or God, it was 67's Foundation equivalent was the fundraiser for it. So why not do that with little hamburgers? I mean, the only problem is there probably isn't a company sitting around with 5,000 foam hamburgers that are numbered to make it easy. But I'm surprised that, there aren't, Pet Val or all the big box stores haven't already sold out of little hamburger squeaky toys.
Sure they have.
Dollarama, here's your big idea. Go find somebody who's selling cheap hamburger squeaky toys. Yeah. Bring 15,000 of them into Ottawa. You'll sell them. Because all it takes is one tweet. Right? I found a hamburger squeaky toys at Dollarama. They're gone. They'd be gone in seconds. Anyway, that was entertaining. That was very entertaining. And then last night?
Yep.
Yeah, last night. Game 69 was last night. And this was a game where there were a lot of things stacked against the Senators last night. Number one, the game was in Carolina, where the team up to now was 1-10-1 in the last 12 games, I think it is.
Yeah.
Oops, lost my notes.
It was Hudobin.
It was Hudobin, against whom the Senators were 0-5.
Yep. In fact, the last time we played against Carolina is the night the goalies went out.
That's
MacArthur
right.
MacArthur and
murder Leonard.
That's the game that you and I were at. Yeah. That's right. I'd forgotten that was the game.
I was here too.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Well, I was sitting with him.
Better seats.
And we were when we watched that absolutely horrible collision in real time from 40 feet away.
You know, Leonard was throwing up in the hallway.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. Well, tossing your hair out of your face after you've just woken up from being concussed and knocked out.
Worst
not a
thing
smart.
You can do.
Well, it's the worst thing you do, but it's as somebody who has long hair, it's an instinctive thing. You just toss your head to get it out of your face.
Yep.
Yeah, I miss the 90s.
Sorry.
You too, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, but he's also apparently not. Well, we'll talk about him later. Anyway, this game itself. the
structure.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't like that exciting a game until the third period. Like the first two periods, it was kind of dragging.
It was dragging.
Was it?
I didn't find it exciting. I was going, watching the Devils. It's just not, it's not that, it wasn't clog and trap like the Devils, but it wasn't an exciting game to watch. It was just,
When the overtime hit though, it opened up.
Well, the third period, which was exciting for all the wrong reasons, because the Senators were outshot 18-7 in the third period. That was exciting for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
The second period, the power play actually scored, so it was momentarily exciting. But overtime, yes, overtime was very exciting. Very, very exciting.
And they were getting way too fancy. Like, that was a brilliant, the highlight reel goal that Turris moved and Stone popped it in. But I was thinking, all before it, they were trying to be way too fancy. I remember looking and thinking, and I think I even said out loud, like, this is way too fancy. What are they doing?
Well, Ryan and McCulloch had two brilliant chances early in the overtime, and it was just... Hudobin was being Hudobin, just like Hammond was being Hammond. It wasn't that it was a bad play. It was just a really good goaltender in front of them. But the Turris to Carlson to Turris to Stone.
Oh,
that was all over every sports broadcast.
Even the Turris Carlson exchange was brilliant enough in neutral zone.
It was just,
they kept dangling the defenseman.
Yeah. Just it was a quick little okay, boom, and off they went.
So beautiful. I think I've watched that thing about 8 times.
It was fantastic. And it was a beautiful thing to watch. And won it in overtime. Didn't go to a shootout. Hooray, because I'm very happy didn't go to a shootout. We'd already been in one. Didn't
I guess we'll
one.
Talk about that too.
Won't talk we? About that later on, yeah. The possible changes for that sort of thing. So that's the end of the game summaries.
We freaking ran the table.
We did.
We recorded right after the Boston game. And I'll be the first to admit that I was figured that's it.
You were a bit bummed.
Well, I thought that was it. That was a game you had to win. It's over. Yeah, we might make it close, but it's over. And
it's look like how are you going to beat Montreal and the Islanders back to back?
And then they went and ran the freaking table, and they've given us hope again.
Mm. So there you go. I think now would be a good point to throw in the email that we got.
Which one?
Was it earlier today? Well, I don't know. I read one of them.
From Chuck? Charles?
No. Voicemail. Sorry, voicemail.
All right, from CB. I'll be fine.
Correct.
Here we go. We got a voicemail on the waiver line. Here we go.
Hey, guys. It's CB Inc. calling here from Toronto. Look, I like the shootout. I like the shootout a lot. I like that I can watch a game till 1 a.m. in Vancouver, Calgary, or something, and there's a winner. And the big thing, of course, is the networks like it because the game is done and over in a timely manner. And there's no more tie games. I hate tie games. What's the point of a tie game? All right, I'm going to hang up and listen to your response. Thanks.
Actually, he did have part two. I'll play that quickly.
Okay.
Oh, and one more thing. Leafs suck.
Well, you were
doing. Can I take the first stab at this?
Sure.
Yeah, let me just play it again so the listeners can hear that.
Hey, guys. It's CB Inc. calling here from Toronto. Look, I like the shootout.
That's been a while since I've heard that.
Ah, I haven't heard that in ages. All I was going to say was, stop trolling me.
The networks well really played, like sir. To get to that Preakness pregame show.
Exactly right.
Sometimes those lengthy overtimes just get in the way.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that sort of stuff in a little while because that is on our list of things to do because there have been some proposed changes to overtime in the shootout, which I'm fully supporting. But we'll talk about later. Before we go any further, Pan, you're up to read.
I am.
Yes, you're up to read Landfill's email because it fits well right about here because it really talks about what we've just been talking about.
From Landfill. Greeting, boys. I have to say that from a fan's perspective, this has been an interesting and exciting season, to say the least. When I look at this team and the way that they are playing right now, I'm very excited for the future of this club. While making the playoffs would be great, it would not change the fact that this team has turned itself around since the start of the season, and we as fans should be proud. Maybe this is the first year of the rebuild. If you think about... You guys are really distracting me. Jazz hands. If you think about all the veterans that are injured, Smith, Neil, Phelps, MacArthur, Anderson, Leonard... Leonard's a veteran, apparently. Oh, for crazy. You too, I swear to God. there goes cards. okay, so with all the veterans injured, who would have thought that they'd still be able to win with such a young team and third-string undrafted goaltender? It's been exciting to watch this team develop. They may not be a playoff contender right now, but the future looks bright. In a season where the playoffs were a long shot, how many other teams can look at their losing season the same way? All that being said, I want them to make the playoffs and do what the LA Kings did when they won the cup that first year. Go Sens, go Landfill.
Can't disagree. I think that's basically what we were just saying. That this is, however this turns out for me, they've all gravy.
They've made it entertaining.
Yeah, that's all I ever want. I want it to be entertaining. And it has been. Is our draft pick going to be not as high as it could have been?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we picked Erik Karlsson at 15.
Yeah, talk my life.
That's really all I have to say on the matter. And I believe it was about two or three shows ago where we went through the lineup, and you know, more than half of this team isn't even first round picks. So, I mean, we have 3 6th round picks on this team right now, and we like them all. So, Chris Neal, Mike Hoffman, sorry, Mark Stone, and Mark Mathot.
Okay, I'll tell you, I'll get out like Chris Neal. That's fine.
Well, whatever. With you. You get the idea.
Great for what he is. That's where.
And Mike Hoffman's a 5th round pick, and Eric Condra's a 7th round pick, and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So, whether we're drafting 7th or 15th, it's all a. Or 13th or whatever it ends up being. It's all the same. I'd really like it if we were to draft Travis Konecny, but that's just
me. Me too.
Cody Ceci like good. That
actually,
too.
Why? Oh, yeah?
And actually going back to a couple of episodes ago too, because we were saying that we needed a 1C. Zibanejad might be the guy.
He could be.
He's emerging.
He's certainly playing well.
He needs to score a lot more though, but and he can't do that first 20 games BS next year or ever again.
No. Well, at least it was only 20 games this year. Last year was 40.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's reducing.
So. Well, his first year, though.
Yeah,
it's reducing. It wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah, it's reducing, and I think that he certainly has potential if he continues to develop. But, again, we can't have too many assets like that. You just can't. You can always find, if worse comes to worse, we can trade them for something else that we do need.
Yes.
So, whichever way it works out is fine with me. But, Landfill, thank you. We all completely agree with what you said. And it, again, it's just been entertaining. That's all we ever want. Mm-hmm. A couple of player notes to talk about. I mean, we'll get to Andrew Hammond in a second. I had just one quick note about Mark Stone, who scored last night. That was his 5th game-winning goal in his last 7 goals.
Yeah.
That's
clutch.
That was Stone?
Yeah.
Well, Stone put the overtime winner in.
Five of his last 7 goals are game winners.
TSN on a panel actually had the question, who would you rather have, Stone or Lazar? And people were very legitimately picking Stone.
I would. At least at where they are in their career right now. Yep. I mean, they're 4 years apart in age.
Oh, yeah, they're totally different phases. But
they're very, very different. But
and they were still projecting Stone upward.
They're
upward.
2 years apart in age. He's 21.
Stone
is 21.
Oh, what? That's right. Yeah, he's not a
university
kid.
He looks like he's 42, but he's
not
21
a university
years
kid.
Old.
He was a 6th round pick, but he went down to Binghamton at 19. But I keep thinking he's from a university, and he's not. He was a draft pick. He's only 21. Wow.
I still remember his first NHL assist.
Playoffs?
It was a playoff.
Yeah.
Spencer goal.
Yeah.
Was good. Anyway, 5 game-winning goals in the last 7 goals. Goals in his last 7 goals. Now, he's a UFA. Sorry, he's an RFA this summer.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Oh, he has to be. But, I mean, it's going to be...
It's going to be...
There's going to be a lot of contracts that need to be done this summer. They're all RFAs, but they need to get done. And it'll be interesting to see where
suddenly we won't be a cap floor team.
I've always wondered about that phrase, cap floor.
Cap floor.
Well, you have a salary cap, and you have a salary floor.
Bottom.
But you can't have a cap
bottom.
Floor.
Bottom.
You can have a PIN number.
An NDP party. Exactly.
Non-bread.
Spezza's got 30.
Oh, non means bread. Okay. I never thought that's good. I never thought of that one.
So Spezza's got 37 career game winning goals.
37.
Stone has 5. I went and looked up Alfie. I'm just not going to compare it.
that's a cool stat you just pulled out of wherever you pulled it.
TSN. And that you worked for once.
Well done. Anything else about Mark Stone? I was going to go to Andrew Hammond because it's the subject everybody wants to talk about these days. Yeah. Everybody wants to talk about. For people who aren't in the Ottawa area and who haven't maybe heard about this, on Sunday he was told he was getting a card for free McDonald's food in the Ottawa area for life. And it's interesting that it's actually the father of the coach
in
Bowling Green.
Yep.
So his coach is the son of the man who set all of this up, because the man who set all of this up owns basically all the McDonald's up the Ottawa Valley.
Yep.
And his son was Hammond's coach in university.
I'm sure as an NHL goalie, he's thinking, oh, free McDonald's. Great.
I think he's actually in a couple of interviews I've seen with him about this whole, well, what are you thinking about this whole hamburger thing?
Yeah.
And he's just, well... It fans are getting into it, and it's something I was called, and if people are enjoying it, that's cool. And he's just so relaxed.
Hammond is totally your style of player, too.
He's just so relaxed.
He's not hamming it up.
Down there. Yeah. Yeah!
He's just so relaxed and composed. Now, he's also 27. He's not a 21 or a 22-year-old, but he's just very matter-of-fact about all of this, which, I mean, I know I couldn't be, A, because I'm not a professional athlete, and B, this kind of attention would drive me absolutely insane.
No,
it's the kind of thing I never want. But now, he's just sort of, oh yeah.
But that's with the compete, then you want the
with McDonald's and Hammond and all that big hype. I've noticed, Pan, that you're stopping and buying a Big Mac, I think, before every game and tweeting it.
Yeah.
And a hot dog and a Coke Zero?
Yes.
Oh, good. How's your colon?
Well, that I don't necessarily want to share on.
Okay. You did it.
Remember my Costco pants story?
I do.
Okay, enough of that. Let's move on.
Do you want the email?
Which? Oh.
Yeah, you had a question, and then we had an email asking a question.
Start with the email.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll come back to one other thing about Andrew Hammond afterwards. You go to the email first.
Okay. So, from Elaine. Never started a sentence with so.
I agree wholeheartedly.
She's got a bachelor in English too. So the hamburger got a lifetime free McDonald's for being awesome. What other member of the Sens organization deserves a lifetime membership to fill in the blank?
Oh.
I didn't actually know about this email until only about 20 minutes ago. I haven't actually had a chance to think about it.
I haven't had a lot of time to think about it. I got at least one solid one. I think Craig Anderson would be M&M Meats. Probably that frozen chicken.
I was going to say, we don't have them up here, but maybe we should just get him unlimited food at Chick-fil-A so he can get his chicken cooked for him. Yeah.
There you go.
Or Popeyes or something
like
that.
Set him up for like a Meals on Wheels.
Maybe Bobby Ryan would be like pizza for their coming in hot and ready pizza.
Mark Mathot would be sleeveless shirts.
Oh, so it's not food. It's just something that we think they would be sponsored well for.
Well, yeah, I think that's just an easier way to do it.
Oh, Eric Greiba, camo paint. That one was easy.
Lifetime supply of camo paint.
Yeah. Well, just camo stuff, but especially, you know, the face paint, too, so you disappear.
Jared Cowan, a GPS, so he knows where to go.
Easy now.
Just saying.
Burn.
I hadn't thought about this all that much, to be completely honest.
Kyle Turris would definitely get Cheesecake Factory.
Anybody who wants to write in with what they think an Ottawa Senator should get a lifetime supply of X
Mika's product. Mika's Banajad, so from some DJing equipment.
Hair products.
I do.
I like his hair a lot. It's pretty. I miss it.
Okay. Moving on. No, but if anybody can think of a good one that they think a player should have a lifetime supply of whatever, let us know. Podcast at sendscallups.com. We'll read them next week.
Eric Carlson gets a lifetime supply of Knockout Girlfriends.
I think he has the lifetime.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say some sort of hair salon product.
Possibly. Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, the other question I was asked, which was related to this email, which I didn't even know about, which was if you could get a lifetime, you can eat free at some fast food restaurant, what one would it be? Mm-hmm. I actually did think about this for myself.
I did.
Go ahead. You start.
Well, if you're going to count Tim Hortons and Starbucks, I probably would go Starbucks and Tim Hortons, just because of the fact that I would probably never get tired of coffee because you drink a lot of it. But if we'd exclude the coffee shops, I was going to probably say Subway was the safe bet because it's just everywhere and it's, somewhat healthy and you can, get some different options. That's but if I knew I wasn't going to move or I was going to be at least in this region, I would definitely go with Mucho Burrito. I could easily go once or twice a week there.
Very good call. Yes. Okay. I hadn't thought of that. I would say Tim Hortons at least. I don't know about Starbucks. I know they have some sandwiches, but it's really more coffee with a few ancillary things. Tim Hortons has so much food. I think that's completely valid. My pick, I don't know if you can call it fast food. I was going to say Swiss Chalet.
Yeah, I would say no, but.
Because that's kind of borderline for me.
You can take
it. But still, whatever.
I would take it. Swiss Chalet. There's enough on their menu that I'd never get tired of it. And it's at least you can also have it not always with French fries. Yes. I might be able to get something green occasionally with it. And I love it. I just can't get enough of it. So
food comes in green?
It does. Not just moldy green. And crunchy, too.
Yeah. I got to clean out the fridge.
I went to... I can't remember when, but it was at KFC, and they had some contest where you could win KFC for a year. And they're saying, yeah, no, people actually won here in this store. And I'm thinking, free KFC for a year?
That's like three pieces and I'm done.
Oh, yeah, that's one meal and I would be that's enough for 5 years for me.
Like, wow. What, like, does it come with a free, like,
Pepto?
Lifetime subscription to Pepto-Bismol and an AED, so in case you need it.
Some Metamucil, maybe? Get yourself going?
When I really originally moved out on my own, I decided to have my own tradition. I tend to over-purchase takeout and delivery, by the way. So I always get the twin pizzas.
20 so pieces?
Twin pizzas.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I ordered KFC when I put up my Christmas tree. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have KFC every year when I put up my Christmas tree. So I ordered like the big bucket or the 30 piece, whatever it was.
Ouch. By yourself?
And, yeah. And I was like 25 at the time. I actually had metabolism. Ruined it in that weekend.
God. And your heart.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, and it comes with fries so then I can make a potato after and all of that.
Oh, if you get the 30 piece, sir, it comes with a defibrillator.
So the package comes with a giant bucket, two of the containers for fries and some salads. They were very green, very neon green, and
same color as a shamrock shake. We established this last week.
And I had one piece. And I was like, "Phew, that's enough." But I do like it cold.
Yes.
Oh,
cold is better.
It's delicious.
Cold is better.
It's so delicious.
No, it's not.
Anyways, so I went.
Oh.
I finally finished the bucket.
Then kicked the bucket.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is a ghost of Pam. And then I opened up one of the boxes to get the fries out, and it was more chicken.
Mm. So you ate
they couldn't fit because the bucket is actually for 25 pieces. So they put the overflow of the 30 in the box.
Now, how many days did it take you to eat these 25 pieces of chicken?
That's me. So probably 2 weeks.
So
I'm still here. I'm okay, guys. Well, relatively.
Well, refrigerated cooked chicken, maybe, but I couldn't eat KFC for that many days in a row. But by the way, what restaurant would you, let's get back on track here. What restaurant would you be going to if you could have it for the rest of your life?
Definitely not that Chinese takeout place.
Which one?
I still need to find one. Someone please recommend one, please. I'll just take the free hot dogs. What are you doing?
He said ghost of Pan. I thought it maybe make an appearance.
I don't know what it is.
For those people who aren't getting the joke, go back to season one, episode 15.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was the worst. I think I'll just take the hot dogs and Coke Zeros because holy crap, those things just add up.
Oh, so free. Okay, so your fast food restaurant would be the Canadian Tire Center.
Oh, man. No, you got to screw around with that.
That's actually not a bad take for you.
Yeah.
That would work.
It's damn expensive.
Yeah.
That actually would be a good investment. If you're going to get season tickets.
Dan, just feel free to message me at any time that you're ready to offer that to me.
There you go.
Well, you know, they're giving some super fans, you know, free parking and stuff. Maybe free hot dog and Coke Zero.
That'd be all right. That'd be all right.
Super fans in air quotes.
No one's gonna go. No one's gonna get our inside jokes.
Oh.
But they probably will.
Well, there you go. Next. Okay, is that the music like they have on was Corner Gas? They'd have that little montage of music to move to something completely different?
Yeah, something.
Okay, so it's gunshots. Okay, that's telling me to move along. Quick note on Brian Murray. There's been a lot of recognition about his public fight with colon cancer and other people getting checked and saving, you know, they're just getting checked. But there's actually been one case of somebody who came forward and said, I went out and got a colonoscopy because of Brian Murray, and it really has saved my life.
Wow.
It's Brad Shaw.
Ooh.
Brad Shaw, assistant coach, St. Louis, former Ottawa Senator, former Ottawa 67.
Yep.
He got a... He went and was checked out, I believe it was over the All-Star break, and they found a polyp the size of a golf ball.
Ouch.
He had no symptoms. If it hadn't been found, it could have been deadly. It was operated on. He's fine. And he said, if Brian Murray hadn't come public, I would never would have done this because there was nothing. I didn't feel like there was anything wrong with me.
Hmm. Yeah.
So there's a very obvious and personal and Ottawa connected. And he went public with this a few days ago, I guess it was. I was reading about it.
Cool story.
Yeah. I remember Bradshaw when he played for the Ottawa 67s, which is an indication of how old I am. As well as when he played for the Senators, but that was quite a while later. Great point came up. I think it was something that was possibly brought up on the radio.
Knock it off.
That actually was a slip.
Okay. I think it came up on the radio, but I had to do a little bit of checking into it to make sure that I was remembering it correctly. Glenn Healy. And we all know that Glenn Healy hates
still the Ottawa a dick.
And we always thought that he hated the Ottawa Senators because of all the stuff that went on when, you know, he was sitting on the bench and when the Toronto Maple Leafs were playing Ottawa, et cetera, et cetera. Better reason came to light the other day. In the 1992-1993 season, the inaugural season, the season that the Senators set records for how bad they were, the Ottawa Senators won their first road game in their last road game of the season.
So friggin' bad.
Against the New York Islanders. Glenn Healy was in nets. When Laurie Boschman scored a hat trick in a 5-3 win.
So, taking it personally.
Yeah. So he was in net for the only road win for that Ottawa Senators team that season.
Well, that's what happens when you have a 3.3 GPA and an 889 save percentage.
But there's just one more reason for Glenn Healy to hate the Ottawa Senators, because he gets in the record books for the only goalie that couldn't beat them when they were the road team.
Remember when the Sens were on the new RO in terms of relevance?
Yes.
And now we got TSN.
And Sportsnet and HNIC. Oh, yes, I do.
You know, the one thing you didn't mention, we talked that first game was a recap, was Senators at Canadiens. Here in the Ottawa area, I was a Rogers cable customer. I could watch that game on TSN or Sportsnet.
And I was wondering why that was.
I don't know.
Because they screwed up the contract.
But well, I can tell you it was an easy choice for me.
I'm wondering if they were able to show
it's a Habs national game and just went whatever.
But it's not. It was a Thursday night. It's not a national game. The national contract is only Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Whatever. Nope. It was so there.
It's a regional game, which is a Rogers broadcast, but maybe they said, well, it's Ottawa, so we can show it up there. But
let's just not show the Toronto game.
Because, well, they couldn't because it's a regional broadcast, but maybe they got tapped into the Ottawa region, because you don't normally see Habs regional games on Sportsnet.
Well, yeah, you don't see them in Ottawa. One with the other, right?
Well, especially two choices, the same game, different announcers.
It must have been a screw-up on the feed, because that really shouldn't have happened. I can't imagine why, because this is TSN territory for local broadcast.
Well,
it's Ottawa Senators territory, number one, and it's TSN who's the local broadcaster.
It was a no-brainer choice for me anyway.
It'll be TSN. Thank you. No question. No question at all. Injured players. Go through this quickly. Zach Smith is apparently ready to return, but he's not playing. Wow. At least not yet.
Okay. I texted this for one of the comments, too. Yeah, just run through your list.
Okay, Craig Anderson re-injured his hand in the warm-up versus the Flyers. Yeah. He'll be out for at least a week. Now, apparently he did hurt it in the warm-up, but he still stayed on the bench for that game.
That one I'm nervous.
What's going on?
That one I'm nervous about,
too. Don't know.
And that's really the problem, is they won't come out and just kind of definitively say what's going on.
Well, maybe they don't want to. I don't know. For whatever
reason. Which makes it worse around.
I don't care. Like, if you say that it's a bone bruise, okay. You know, I don't sweat this sort of thing, so it's okay, he'll be back when he's back, and until then, whatever. I've been that way since the first time.
It doesn't help the team.
But I think that
it doesn't help the athlete, because people start wondering, like, what, is he like a prima donna? Like, he can't play if he's not 100%?
That doesn't impact the athlete.
And I'm sure the players on the team,
they know exactly what's wrong, they just don't disclose it.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's fine for
image of the athlete.
Yeah, whatever. I don't think he's really going to care. And I mean, the rest of his teammates already know what the actual problem is, but I'm sure they know. I'm sure they've been told.
Is you tell him that he's got a broken bone in his hand or something like that? Could very well be the thing. As the opposition, I'm just going to go by, and when he covers a puck, slash at his blocker.
Yeah. Right.
Meanwhile, Chris Dreider's back up and making an NHL paycheck again, which he's probably going, I could have been doing this for an extra 3 weeks if you hadn't called yourself ready and then not been ready. Thanks. Yeah, so he's back up.
Yeah, the one thing that I'm nervous about, too, is in the case that Hammond struggles, so in the case that hell freezes over, apparently, we don't have an option B.
Nope.
Because we could always just do a quick poll, put Anderson in, and hope to win the game.
Yeah, we've lost our
safety. Now we're screwed. Yeah.
Well, Yes, but we've been through this before, and you know, if it happens, it happens. There's nothing we can do about it. So,
and Hammond we trust.
Exactly. Chris Neal, I haven't seen much of an update on him other than he's still weeks away.
Yep.
Chris Phillips.
He was painting gnomes today.
Chris Phillips, I haven't seen anything on in a while, and I haven't heard anything.
I think he's done.
They haven't said what the problem seems to be. I'm wondering if he's just worn out, like just gassed.
That's not surprising at all.
Overplayed? Don't know.
I think he's done.
Retire.
But if he retires. If he retires, he doesn't get paid.
Then do a ceremonial thing.
But he doesn't get his last year of salary is what I mean.
No. If they know that he's not going to come back, you can buy him out.
Or put him on LTIR.
Actually, no, you know what? You can't. Because you can't buy out an injured player.
You can't buy out an injured player and he's over 35.
35 doesn't matter.
It's guaranteed. If he's injured and can no longer play, then
that
the
just impacts
covers.
The cap. But if you're 35 plus, it affects the cap, which is a known issue for the amount that he makes.
Okay, so he still gets paid if he's injured. He can't retire.
Well, can we just...
But if he's injured, you also can't... You shouldn't buy him out because insurance is paying.
Well, you can't.
You can't buy out an injured player.
Yeah. And you can't retire him either.
Well, he can retire on his own, but that would be dumb.
Because then he wouldn't get paid.
Yeah.
So
can he bust tables at Big Rig?
Bust. I'm like, do you want karate moves? Busting tables? I'll be fine.
I wonder what that would look like, capital gains.
No, we'll have to see. There hasn't been any news on him, but MacArthur was skating late last week or early this week. I can't remember when I wrote this down. He's still having some symptoms, but he is improving.
Skating alone?
Yes. Okay. But he is actually skating.
He's got to get his cardio up and...
Well, he also probably has some other issues as well, but if he can skate, he can at least keep his cardio up.
Yeah.
Leonard, there's been nothing since the comment of, I think it was Brian Murray who said that MacArthur's improving and Leonard hasn't really shown any signs of improving so far. So, long list there.
Ouch.
Yeah, and that's going to hurt him too, because I don't think he's going to be back this year.
I don't think so.
So that's going to go from mid-February to September until he releases.
He might have a concussion career issue here.
He's only had one.
I thought this was his second.
Has he had a previous?
He'll be okay.
Well,
goalies don't get hit in the head very often.
Well, tell that to Hammond, who's had a couple off his face. Anyway, that's all I had for injured players. You wanted to talk about Zach Smith.
Yeah. So would you put him back in and where?
Depth. When somebody falters.
I was going to say, I would be in no rush to put him back in because the team is playing well the way it is.
I'd replace Chiasson in a heartbeat.
Yep. Zach Smith is not successful as a winger. We saw that earlier this season.
Leg one's not bad at it.
I'd rather.
And they'll be on the same.
I'd rather leave leg one at center because he's doing a better job with Pumple than I think he would do on a wing with Zach Smith in the middle and Pumple on the other side.
Okay, Chris Neal gets ready. What do you do?
Don't bring him in until we need him. Nope.
Okay.
This team is doing very well with the way it is. So injured players coming back is great.
Two alternate captains out.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But they've shifted them off to other people, right?
Other people have the A at the moment. Yeah. But it's also
this isn't the Chris Clark thing in Washington before.
It's also a matter of the team is essentially working as it is now. So it's all, unless there's a reason to change it up. I don't see a reason. I don't change for change's sake. I've never seen as a positive thing.
It's a good problem
just
to have.
We need to just shake it up. There's no reason to shake it up at the moment. There's no reason to make a change. So I don't see the point
of
doing it.
Not off.
Shake it up.
There you go.
Why do I drink this?
Because you're a glutton for punishment, because I don't know why you think it's punishment, but you seem to.
Oh, I forgot.
Two other quick things on the Senators, and then we can move on. Nick Paul had his car broken into for the second time this season on Monday night.
What?
Yeah.
Oshawa?
North Bay.
Okay.
Tobias Lindbergh is in Oshawa. Yeah, broken into for the second time, apparently. I didn't write all the details down, but poor guy. Kind of sucks. I wanted one quick comment on fan initiatives. And I know that there's certainly been an awful lot of talk on this podcast as well as elsewhere. That was Canuck cracking his knuckles going, oh, this is going to be good. On fan on things that they do in game. And somebody made a comment on Twitter, and I have to say, I don't remember who it was.
Was it me?
No, I think it might have been Peter Raymakers, actually.
This is our host.
Yeah, okay. that there have been some fan ideas that did work and that did catch on, and that sometimes enough credit isn't given to those because too many people are complaining about the things that they don't like.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
For instance, the 11-11 countdown.
Yeah.
That was fan initiated. That wasn't any group. That was just, well, I'm sure it was a group.
I think that one was RSU.
That stopped.
Well, it stopped when we don't have it anymore. We don't have Daniel Alfredson around anymore, but the Pajot chant.
One of the best.
That was just brilliant. Yep.
It was absolutely brilliant. And I mean the hamburger toss, but I really would like it if the fans would do, you know, after a brilliant save, if the whole building started going rubble, 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 I think it'd be hilarious, but I don't think it's going to catch on because enough people won't get it.
That's a hard one. Yeah.
They won't get it.
Oh, they will now.
Well, they might, but trying to...
The Leighton fan won't.
To try and make it anything other than a cacophony of noise rather than an organized chant, I think, is almost impossible.
Yes.
That's the problem.
So what you want is you want people to make some noise!
No, not necessarily.
We'll talk about that in a little. That's effective, though. Say what you want.
It works. Yeah, it does work because people like to be told what to do.
Like, Deo.
Yeah. Deo!
I'm tired of that one, but that's just me.
I don't understand it, but it's always worked.
It's a call and repeat thing because it's easy.
Again, just yell shoot when the goalie shoots the puck.
No, you don't yell it when the goalie shoots the puck. You yell it when he has it on his stick because you want him to shoot.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's annoying. Well, I know because I've sat beside you on a number of games. I know,
but again, when a player has the puck and you yell shoot, same thing.
It's a stupid time to yell shoot. It's daft. I agree. Like, so, you're preaching to the choir on that
it's
one.
It's not dumber to say it when the goalie's got it.
I might argue that, but I might argue that. Before we go further, we had a somewhat lengthy email that was about a number of different things. So before we go into stuff around the rest of the league, this will kind of lead into it, I think, pretty well. Canuck, I think you have this one.
This Chuck's email?
Yes. Didn't write down the name.
Yes.
This is recap of his game.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So Chuck sent us a really long email summarizing his experience going to Minneapolis and watching the Minnesota Wild play.
Against the Senators.
Against the Senators. And actually, he had joked before, I think it was before two shows ago now, right?
Yes.
He was listening to us on the drive. So he sent us this incredibly long email.
Nice.
So guess what? MacBitch is going to read this. Here we go.
Hey guys, I know this is really late since you've already recorded a show since I went to the Minnesota game, but I've been so busy I haven't had time to write this. Still haven't even watched the game on my PVR. First of all, thank you for getting me 54% of the way to Duluth. Excellent episode as always. That Jetsons bit was hilarious. So we arrived in St. Paul at about 3:30 local time. We had a bite to eat at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, owned by former Minnesota North Star Tom Reed, two blocks from the arena. The place was packed at 4:30. Luckily we got a table with some Wild fans from Fargo, North Dakota. We chatted for a bit, and they even complained about how Brian Lee never really made it in the NHL and was retired now. Despite the insane amount of people in there, we got our food rather quickly, probably because most people were only drinking, and we made it to the arena by 6 o'clock. We wore Sens hoodies and fur hats to the arena, and brought our jerseys and caps to change into. The security guy seemed to think we were trying to sell them for some reason. How does that make any sense? It's a Wild game. Just as I was tweeting a picture from our seats, 5 rows up from the ice, the Sens media guy came and took our picture. Shortly after the warm-up started, and it was awesome being that close to the players. Pago looks even shorter in real life. The first period started out kind of slow, but nevertheless we had an excellent view from our seats and saw everything. The second period started off kind of bad with Minnesota's 2 goals, but Zibat got one back quick and then Bobby Ryan scored to tie it. The Wild fans surrounding us were all pretty cool, even when I screamed Bobby F-C-K-I-N-G Ryan after he scored. After that goal the intensity kept ratcheting up. The third period was amazing. Nordy the mascot came over and made I'm watching you eyes at us. There were excellent chances back and forth at both ends. After Dumba got back on the ice, the crowd basically erupted. Chance after chance was thrown at Hammond and nothing went in. My hands were tingling and shaking when play was finally stopped. I swear Bobby Ryan looked up directly at me after he hugged Carlson. OT was awesome, as was the shootout. Unfortunately the Wild won, but oh well. That was the most exciting game I've ever been to. Definitely worth the $87 per ticket I paid. Anyways, now that we've gotten past that little chapter of a book, Let's talk about the arena. A large draft beer was $9.75 US. Sorry, I'm not sure how big that was. I just wrote down the prices and joined the long bathroom lines. A 16-ounce domestic beer was $8.75. A hot dog was $5.50. And Coke Zero, $5. The Wi-Fi was very hit and miss throughout the arena. A tweet with a pic from the warm-ups wasn't posted until the first intermission. The music was great. Pretty much all of it from what I remember was rock. It got the fans pumped up and cheering. No Taylor Swift. No annoying make some noise voice playing multiple times per game that drives me crazy. Just rock. The announced attendance was 19,054, though we know it really was slightly less than that. I estimate that there were maybe 100 Sens fans there. The people sitting next to us left during the second intermission for some reason. My boss was supposed to go to that game with her boyfriend, but he found out the night before that he had to work and she tried to sell the tickets on Kijiji to no avail. Cough, StubHub, cough. The next morning we went to a shooting range to shoot some machine guns and the instructor noticed my Sens hoodie and asked if we went to the game. We got to talking and it turns out he has season tickets. He pays $8,000 a year for two 200 level seats. There is number 300 level. I can't remember if he said if that includes preseason and or playoffs. Just for the 41 regular season games. That works out to about $97 per ticket per game. His tickets are in the second row of the 200s, but he always moves up to the first row because the first row tickets are reserved for the families of the players. But nobody ever sits in them because they either get box seats or buy 100 level tickets. He's also a big fishing guru, knowing about good fishing spots as far away as Sulacaut, 4.5 hours northwest of Thunder Bay. Finally, one thing I never knew was that different arenas have the players' benches on different sides of the ice, or rather, the home and visiting ends are opposite. I always thought that was standardized among all NHL teams. Minnesota has the visiting end on the left, which would be the home end in Ottawa. Anyways, final thoughts. The Wild fans were awesome, friendly, and very knowledgeable. Only one kid yelled at Hammond, Ryan, and Zibana Jadzuk, but his dad shut him up in the shootout. The hockey was amazing, as was the atmosphere, and the ticket prices were excellent. My dad didn't like that whenever the Wild scored, we felt like the only ones sitting down. But I found the whole experience of being in the extreme minority of fans kind of neat. Can't wait to see when the Sens play the Wild next season. Cheers and Leafs suck. Chuck Prowse. P.S. I saw two guys wearing Leafs hats there, one of whom sat one row in front and one seat to the right of me. Why spot the idiot?
You know what the sad thing is that she did a much better job reading that than I would have.
That was a very long email, but thank you.
I've used the K-I-N-G.
Oh. F star. Anyway.
Oh, that's what it was. F star.
That was actually a great summary. It was, yeah, it was long, Charlie. But it was a good summary. Yeah.
glad we got you 54% of the way to Duluth. I'm wondering, 54, that's a very specific number. So did you check your odometer and then figure it out for the total distance? Anyway, that's all right.
Oh, I had to laugh at the beginning of your email, though, Chuck, because you're describing going to the restaurant. Have you guys ever listened to Stuart McLean?
Yes.
Doing the Vinyl Cafe?
Yes.
The way he reads stuff, it's like, we arrived early in the city, went to the diner. It's kind of diner you see the throwback. Kind of diner you'd see back in the 1950s. The waitress there was very tall, but not a big tall, more of a lean tall. The kind of tall you'd see on a soft, sunny morning on Saturday afternoon. Her hair, through the breeze, just gently waved.
Not bad.
Tangent. That's not tangent. Tangent.
That's
tangent,
not a bad Stuart McLean impression. Well played, sir. Well played. Sounds like Chuck had a good time at the game.
Sounds like they had a great time.
Now, I don't know what season tickets cost. Now, since, because this arena has only
8,000 for 200 level tickets is a lot.
Is it?
For two? 4,000 each?
Because this would be the first row of the 200.
So the 114 that I'm looking at, my dream seats.
3,800 here, right? That's half season, though. So, yeah, 8,000 for a full season. That's about pretty much what the Senators are charging.
Yeah.
Maybe 7,500 for a full season, depending on where, though, like center ice, more than eight.
I pay about 1,200 for mine.
Mm-hmm.
For one seat.
For one seat. Mm-hmm. Half
season. For half season. So yeah. 24 plus a little bit more of a discount, or minus a little bit more of a discount.
But it may also be that because they only have two layers or two levels, their pricing may be more like the 200 level than the 300.
Yep.
Possibly.
Depending on how big their 100 level is. It may be bigger than ours.
Yep.
Can't say.
So 25. No, the 114s would be about $5,000 each.
Wow. That's deep.
5 years.
I have to admit.
That's my 5-year rebuild right there.
I did laugh when he was talking about fish. The fishing guru who knew fishing spots so far away is Sioux Lookout. I happen to know where Sioux Lookout is because I spent one summer in Red Lake and one summer in Dryden, which will probably only mean anything to Chuck, but I know that area of the province rather
well. Hit that button.
Local reference? There you go. Actually, that's a very distant reference.
No,
that's
it's Cardinal local. Talking about fishing.
Nothing wrong with fishing. 6 weeks away. 6 weeks away. Anyway, thank you, Chuck.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking, just thinking about the pricing. You know, basically here in Ottawa, you know, you can pay pretty much a fortune and have a seat. Or if you're willing to stand and be surly, you could get in for probably a fraction of the price and get free parking.
Stand and be surly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I understand the reference, but I don't understand the surly part. But okay. Moving on.
Shoe beer.
Could be worse. This day in NHL.
No, it can't.
Yeah, I can. This day in NHL history. This day, which would be March 18th. Yes. As I check my phone to make sure I got the right date. Yes. Still the 18th. Okay, we're good. Not that late yet. In 1945, it's a significant date, actually, because this was the date that Maurice the Rocket Richard became the first player to score 50. You imitating aircraft? Or? Okay.
What's that? What year?
1945.
Okay.
First player to score 50 goals in 50 games.
Cardinal, we're not that old.
Oh, no, he's
not. I'm not that old either. My parents' marriage isn't that old.
So what you're saying is he got 50 and 45?
50 and 50 and 45.
Freaking all-star.
Moving on.
Shot that one out of the air, didn't we?
Oh, I think you missed it. Blowing blanks. Anyway. Oh. Anyway. Johnny Boychuk signed a 7-year, $42 million deal with the New York Islanders. Now, you'll have to refresh my memory because I can't
tell you if that's good or not because Cap Geek's gone.
Well, what was Mathot's deal?
4.5 or 4, something like that?
I was trying to remember if it was 4 or 4.5. For 4 years.
4.5, surely.
I think it was something around there. All I'm saying is this is $6 million a year for 7 years for somebody who is younger.
Yep.
But
has a cup.
But plays a similar style. I'd say the Mathot deal is looking better and better by the day.
Oh, the Mathot deal.
4.9.
Great.
Was it 4.9?
4.9.
Still. I have no issue with the Mathot deal.
No, not at all. But it just looks better and better when things like this come along.
Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have an email that I'm going to read, and it's actually about...
No, well, Boychuk is 6.
Yeah, times 7 years. Mathot is 4.9 times 4.
1.1 more for Johnny Boychuk?
Length of time, too.
He's 30.
Is he 30?
He's 30. So he's older.
I'm thinking Letty. Sorry, I was thinking Letty's the younger of the two. So he'll be playing. He'll be still making $6 million a year when he's 37. How old's Chris Phillips?
37. Some people get
Chris Phillips is 36. That's all I'm saying.
What? Chris Phillips is 36?
He's not 36, is he?
No.
Yeah, he's 2 years older than me, so yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's 36. That's all I'm saying.
What is wrong? He looks older than that.
Yeah. Huh?
Balding's a bitch.
Easy now.
Hey, I'm in this boat too, man.
I think it's when you don't shave it off and you leave it.
I do leave it, yeah.
You look older.
Yeah.
Can't say. Anyway, I have an email from Boingy. And this one's a little long too, but I'll get through it. Because there's a couple of points in it that I want to talk about when I'm done. Greetings from behind the enemy lines in the 416 area code. And apologize for not writing in a while. And apologies in advance for this long, rambly email. I haven't heard the March 11th podcast yet, so I don't know if you covered this subject on the show, but I've been reading a bit about the AHL's pending realignment. Eric Duhaschek, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right.
Duhaschek.
Thank you. Has a really interesting article in the Globe and Mail all about this on March 13th, and I recommend this article if you haven't read it. Short version, in case you haven't, 5 NHL teams, LA, Anaheim, San Jose, Calgary, and Edmonton, are all moving their AHL affiliates to California, where they'll begin playing next season. And then, if this wasn't exciting enough, Winnipeg is making its long rumor move to bring its farm team back from Winnipeg to Winnipeg from St. John's. Meanwhile, Montreal is moving the Hamilton Bulldogs to St. John's. This is only temporary, though, because the Habs are planning to eventually move that team to Laval after the 2016-2017 season when a new arena should be ready. And there's even been spillover into the minor or major junior leagues, minor leagues, whatever you want to call them. The Belleville Bulls will move to Hamilton after the season and take over the Bulldogs' name, bringing back the OHL to Hamilton after 24-year absence. There's also been a reshuffling of ECHL teams, but whatever. Let's not get too drilled down too deep into this. The main drivers of these changes seem to be finance and logistics, as you might expect. Most of the teams that are making these moves are bringing the AHL clubs much closer to the NHL parent clubs, in the case of San Jose and Winnipeg, to the same city and building. Clearly, they're trying to cut down the number of cross-continent trips their players have to make when they get called up or sent down to the AHL. This would make a lot of sense, business and operational sense, so I'm not surprised from that perspective. Personally, though, I question whether enough people in California will care enough about minor pro hockey to make any sense of these teams being viable in their, as their own right as hockey teams. My guess is that you'll be able to hear the chirping crickets in the stands in places like San Diego and Stockton, and at least one of the NHL teams will find the resulting drain on their finances too much to bear, but we'll see. The AHL will likely have to rely on itself because of this shift, moving a couple of teams from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference in order to maintain balance. Personally, from the point of view of an Ottawa Senators fan living in Toronto, I hope that the Toronto Marlies are one of the teams that head east. Why? Because I would like more chances to see the Binghamton Senators, that's why. As it is, Toronto and Binghamton are in different conferences, and the BSNs are only in town about once per year. It would always be great, on a Tuesday night or some other night that I can't make it. If they end up in the same conference, I should get more chances to see Ottawa's prospects in action. The other interesting trend here is toward NHL clubs owning and operating their AHL teams instead of just having affiliation agreements with them. Montreal and Anaheim both purchased their teams prior to moving them. The other 14 other NHL teams already own their AHL affiliates in whole or in part. As far as I know, there is no ownership connection between Eugene Melnyk and the BSens. I do wonder, though, what the future holds for that relationship between these two teams. A few years back, there was a rumor that Melnyk wanted to buy the BSens and relocate them to Cornwall, though obviously that never came to be. I wonder if that sort of idea might be revived, given how the AHL is currently restructuring itself. Likely not, given the rumored states of Melnyk's finances, but you never know. Anyhow, I'd be interested in hearing any thoughts you might have on that shakeup of the AHL, as well as Ottawa's relationship with Binghamton, whether or not they might want to have an AHL team a little closer than upstate New York, and on what the future holds for that relationship. Thanks, love the show, as always, and as Ned Flanders might say, Leafs suck, Italy yuck, boingy. Now, I actually did a little bit of checking into this.
Good.
On a couple of points. There for three seasons, there was an AHL team in Cornwall.
When was this?
Well, there used to be an OHL team there. And before that, there was a QMJHL team there, the Cornwall Royals. And they were there from 69 until 82. And the team moved from the Q to the OHL from 82 to 93. In 93, they moved to Newmarket. In 95, they moved to Sarnia.
So they're the Sting.
They're the Sting now, exactly. Now, in... excuse me. In 93, the Cornwall Aces of the AHL were the farm team of the Quebec Nordiques.
Yep.
And they were there for three seasons, two for Quebec and one for Colorado.
Okay, yeah.
When they moved.
And then you have to move there.
And then the team went dark. They didn't wind up the operations. It just sort of went idle. Because Colorado sent their players to Hershey, and the franchise
with the joint then,
yeah, the franchise eventually ended up moving to Wilkes-Barre Scranton as the Penguins, who are still there.
Okay,
so there has been AHL in
AHL's a mess.
It's an ongoing flexing. It's always flexible. There has been. I didn't actually know. To be completely honest, I knew that there had been OHL in Cornwall because I remember the Royals, but I didn't know that there had been AHL there. It's a 5,000-seat building, which I didn't know that they had expanded it from 4,000 to 5,000. It's not new. I've been in it, the Cornwall Civic Complex, right down on the water. To be honest, I don't know if Cornwall could support an AHL team. It's not... it's a city that isn't as economically depressed as it was when Domtar closed because it has diversified, but I don't know whether it would be really a place that would be able to support an AHL team or not. Binghamton does because there's not Montreal and Ottawa an hour away. Because, I mean, if you're in Cornwall, you can go to Montreal, you can go to Ottawa. It's an hour in two basically opposite directions and get an NHL game if you want one. Binghamton, you can't do that.
Considering the Navin almost got Hockeyville.
Yeah.
Well, ridiculous.
Well, Smith Falls had it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
So, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about to be honest, I haven't heard anything about the B-Sens moving to Cornwall. I don't know if it would be economically viable. Yeah, it's only 4 hours. I mean, it's certainly
drivable.
It's easier
than going to downtown Toronto.
The other part that you where you put your affiliation is, one, to make it effective in regards to call-ups. Two, for two-way contracts, you can save a lot of money. Because Toronto was really good at, well, not that Toronto cares much, but when you had a two-way contract, you call them up, you play the game, you send them down.
And they all already live in the same city.
Yeah.
Well, that's why.
So you don't have to call someone up, pay them for the day. For a travel day.
Well, this
and then he joins the team.
This is why I don't understand Montreal moving their team from Hamilton. I mean, Hamilton is a 30-minute drive from Pearson Airport, which is a 45-minute flight to Montreal.
I think a case of moving it to an existing rabid fan base. That's an opportunity. It's an open hole.
I would assume that they want to get the East Coast back on... for fans.
Yeah, didn't
because of Crosby's probably got a big impact there.
Yes, but didn't Senators get Atlantic coverage?
Yes, they do. They're part of
I noticed that on a commercial. There was this commercial for Pandora bracelets, and it says available at Bayshore Shopping Center, Rideau Center, Saint Laurent Center, and McMac Mall. I'm like, what's Dartmouth? Okay, Ottawa is Dartmouth.
Well, that's Halifax. Yeah. The Maritimes are regional coverage on TSN for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
All of the Maritimes, I believe. All the Maritimes and Newfoundland, Atlantic Canada. Thank you. Yes.
And I think if you move out of Northern New York, then you're going to lose that fan base. It's a small one.
Well, yeah,
you do anything that you can to expand it.
I just don't understand Montreal wanting to move. Like, I kind of get that. But how many flights are there per day from St. John's, Newfoundland to Montreal? Maybe two?
But that's
two temporary. Or three a day.
Two or three.
It's temporary.
Well, it's for a couple of years.
They moved out knowing that the Hamilton team was going to come in.
Well, I think the Bulldogs were sold to Hamilton after they found out that AHL team was leaving.
That also could have been a leasing issue then.
Well, the Belleville team was sold without anybody in Belleville knowing it was even for sale.
What if the AHL team went to Quebec City?
It's going to Laval, which is north of Montreal.
Yeah. I know.
Laval makes sense.
Yeah.
So my guess is it might have been a leasing issue.
Which is going to blow away Blainville-Boisbriand, which is a QMJHL team, which is very successful right now. They're going to get, because QMJHL doesn't do well in the Montreal area, except for that team, the Armada. They've been quite successful, which is a bit of an odd thing for them. But it's just, you're moving your team so far away. You know, time zone and a half away.
Book's name again? It's not the Foco anymore.
Sorry, what's what?
Sherbrooke.
Their Q? A team in the Q? I can't remember, to be honest.
It could be worse. It could be Kujibakwak?
Kujibakwak? I can't even
Kujibakwak.
Yeah, Kujibakwak would be a hell of a commute, that's for sure. They'd have good ice, though, because it's cold up there. It's cold up there 11 months of the year.
Sherbrooke, Phoenix.
So... The moves are Winnipeg is moving their AHL team from St. John's, Newfoundland to Winnipeg. Mm. It might still be moving to Thunder Bay eventually.
Rough Riders.
So Montreal is moving their team from Hamilton to St. John's, Newfoundland, and it will retain the team name of the Ice Caps, even though it's technically a different organization. It'll
the
be
Americans
the
are just flipping through their maps right now trying to figure this out.
That's right. And the OHL Belleville Bulls were sold to Hamilton, and they will be moving to Hamilton and playing in Cops Coliseum, also known as the First Ontario Center. And they will be known as the Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're going to have OHL in a 16,500-seat building. And if anybody went, I don't know, did you ever go to a 67s game when they were out at the CTC?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was deadly. I mean, it's good hockey,
yeah,
but
you got to curtain it off.
2,500 or 3,000 people in a 19,500-seat barn is just...
You got to make it small to make the atmosphere.
Yeah, you just curtain it off.
Deadly.
You do what you can.
So we'll see how that all works out. A couple of other quick things. We're starting to get near the end of the show, thank goodness, I'm sure people say. Little incident in San Jose. Little incident in San Jose. The GM was talking to somebody.
He was talking
to a season's ticket holder at some sort of event, and eventually the story got out to the news.
Sure wish we had these things.
About... You do?
No.
Okay. The comment was, why did you take the captaincy away from Joe Thornton? And I can't remember exactly what it was, but the, in 100 words or less was, well, when he gets stressed, he starts to lash out at people. And he said this publicly to a season ticket holder who talked to a reporter about it. So it was out in the news.
It was an open event, two season tickets, so I'm sure reporters were there.
So this got out in the news. And, you know, big surprise, Joe Thornton heard this. And his reply, his public reply to this in the media was, it's Doug Wilson? Last name is Wilson. Doug Wilson needs to shut his mouth.
Mm. Mm. Doug Wilson's going to need a job in June.
And now the GM is saying everything's fine. Everything's fine. You know, we've worked this out. We talked about it. We said we want to talk, blah, 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 blah. Now, I think it was on the radio that somebody made...
Go F yourself. I agree.
Somebody made a very funny analogy to this, and I think it was on the radio, but it was when I was talking to Russell about this, and we had come up with the same sort of analogy. The GM saying that everything is fine, it's kind of like the Iraqi information minister. Everything's fine. You know, we're not being attacked. Everything else. Yeah. Kind of reminded me a bit of that. And I laughed when I said, okay, sure. I think
nothing to see here.
Yeah. Move along. Everything is fine.
Can you ask Russell to come on the show soon?
Sure.
There you go. Listeners, let's peer pressure him on Twitter in the forums.
Yep. Yeah. You want to pressure him? Pressure him in the forums. Yeah. The game threads are always good.
Mm-hmm. They are.
I've been finding them quite entertaining of late, even if I don't post a lot in them because I'm trying to do too many other things.
I love at the same that TJ has released the hatred and he's doing a lot of liking.
He does a lot of liking.
Something funny and just like.
Quote, like. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Toronto Maple Leafs. Only one thing to talk about with them, quite frankly. Or two things, actually.
They're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Okay, three. That's one of them. Yep, that's one. The second one was... Oh, it's not a sad thing. Don't you have trumpets and exaltations and hallelujahs? It's great.
You did it.
Not bad. The hit that Nazem Kadri delivered on Monday night, the chicken wing elbow to the head.
Four games.
Yep. She gets four games for.
It's one more than a two-minute interference penalty.
A repeat offender.
Yep.
That
and Fraser is hurt.
That deliberately targeted somebody's head. Gets one more game than an accidental contact by Jared Cowan.
Where Fraser is dramatically hurt.
Yeah, gets one more game.
I watched it on Game Center and he was bad.
Oh yeah, he's hurt. He's hurt. One more game. That an accidental contact that wasn't
this
really
is not
late
surprising.
And wasn't really to the head and wasn't really any of this, but you're getting three games because you're a repeat offender.
And don't worry, when Jared Cowan accidentally does that again.
Oh, he'll get 10.
Yeah.
It's not his fault he's too slow to keep up with the play.
I'm not sure if it was our last episode or if it was a text message conversation when we were talking about the fact that when the Toronto Maple Leafs were playing out west in Vancouver, it was a 4 p.m. start time. And you said you were going to investigate their schedule.
I can't. I'll look at it next year when they do it.
They'll we already know this. Toronto gets 7 p.m. Spoiled. Eastern all the time.
Yep.
It's. I mean, it's.
Excuse me, LA and Vancouver, and coming through. We got to start the game at 4. Yeah,
so it screws the.
Well, they did play late in Edmonton.
I don't care.
But they also got scored on 3 minutes at like 9 o'clock Eastern, and then just.
They even pulled the strings here in Ottawa. It was a Wednesday night game. Normally, it's 7:30. Yep. Like, you got to do 7.
No, that's a national broadcast thing. All the national broadcast games are 7 o'clock.
That's because they're all Leaf games. Let's play
a lot of them. Yeah. But
the
they're all 7 o'clock, so that's why.
I blame the Leafs.
I don't mind that idea. Player in Arizona by the name of Mark Arcobello.
Yeah.
Started the season with the Oilers.
That's what I thought.
Traded to Nashville for Derek Roy on the 29th. Mm-hmm. Claimed off waivers by Pittsburgh on January 14th.
Yep.
Claimed off waivers by Arizona February 11th.
Wow.
His taxes are going to be a pain.
Can you imagine? Some Canadians, some U.S., depending on which state. Because some states he was in for 3 weeks. And he's living with Sam Gagne, former Oiler, who's also playing in Arizona. But he's actually played more games now.
Could you imagine the real estate fees if you kept buying houses?
Oh, just insane. Never mind, just even breaking leases. Give me a break. Anyway. Four teams in one season. You wanted to talk about the NHL in Vegas.
Oh, I can't friggin' wait. That's all. Please happen. I don't care if you're not going to have any of your own fans. Just I want to go to Vegas.
Well, you can go to Vegas anyway.
Yeah, but I want to go for it. Well, I need more excuses now.
You haven't needed any up to now. Why do you need, what's with the change of heart?
People keep having kids.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
I love Vegas.
It's, you've made this abundantly clear. I would like to visit once. I'm curious.
The only arena with slot machines in it?
That's hey, Ottawa tried that at the casino.
Well, they wanted to have them next to it, not necessarily in it.
No, this would be right in the concourse. They'll have
for sure. Them. They might even have special boxes where you can watch the game and play slot machines.
They may
machines.
Even have special
they
staff.
They have met the airport.
Special staff.
Ah.
Offer services for fees.
And it's not a box, it's a bunker? Yeah.
Just...
okay.
Yeah, and these are not to kind of poke fun at it, but this is where a team like Minnesota can get creative and just not protect Vanek in expansion.
Well, if they don't want
Vegas
to keep him.
Vegas can't pick him up. Some
why,
of the players like that with the chronic gambling issues.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
Well, they could pick him up.
They won't.
Well, they could.
That'll be really bad PR right off the bat.
Well, we'll pick him up and we'll trade him back to you for something else.
Not allowed to trade back on expansion.
Trade to somebody else?
Yeah.
Find another team that wants
to win the WhatsApp contract.
Well, can't say. I don't anyway. Know. I have to admit, I didn't really look into the exact details of the new rules that were being discussed at the GM meetings.
I did. Well, I've heard it enough on the radio.
I've heard of two of them, but I don't really know what the coach's challenge is supposed to entail. Oh. So,
okay, coach, we'll go for it. Can I get?
Well, the overtime first. The two resounding things were instead of having 5 minutes of 4-on-4, and then a shootout, as in what it is now.
Yes.
The alternatives were the AHL system, which I think is the majority, the most probable thing. So go to 7 minutes of overtime. The first 3 minutes are 4-on-4. The first whistle after the first 3 minutes, so somewhere in the third or fourth minute, it goes to 3-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
You finish it out.
That's brilliant.
And apparently it's a 75% increased chance of not going to a shootout in the AHL. I saw it once in St. John's, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it did work. It did not go to a shootout. They scored 3-on-3.
Victory! I like the idea.
The other option was just going straight to 3-on-3 for 5 minutes.
I prefer the 4-on-4.
I'd rather do 4-on-4
I'd rather
than
do the stage thing.
Yep. As would I. Yep.
At least, yeah.
And
it's been proven to work through the AHL so far this year, because I remember Grady talking about that.
I
thought it was corny too, and it was a game against
Detroit.
Shootout
is corny.
Yeah, yeah. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
It's an all-star competition.
Despite Boingy liking it.
It's exciting. I have fun with
them. CB Inc. Sorry, Boingy.
But there was one game that Ottawa played against Detroit over Christmas holidays where there was an offsetting penalty. So the overtime started 3-on-3.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was
and
so
it
fun.
Was awesome.
It was fast. It was so much space.
It was just chance.
Absolutely. It's
so
constantly
after I saw
rushes.
That, I'm like, yeah, we need this.
I'm
we
all for
this.
It.
Yes, it is a little bit gimmicky. It's not 5-on-5, but it's so much less gimmicky than the shootout. I would actually argue if you're going to keep the shootout, I would prefer to see 5-on-5. I hate this 3-on-3 thing, you're done. But I don't like the shootouts, period. But if you had to keep them, I prefer to 5 chances each.
Yeah. The
like
thing is that just, it stretches it out too long.
I know. But the 3 thing, it's like, oh. Miss, done.
They're looking for a quick
That's
ending.
What she said.
Yes.
Yeah.
The coach's challenge?
Coach's challenge, I believe for now, all I heard was on shooting out over the glass. Coaches had an option to challenge that.
I think
replay.
I thought there was also something about goalie interference.
Oh, you're right. I did hear goalie interference
and
on the radio today.
If your challenge is not successful, then you lose a timeout.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yep. As it should be. I mean, that's the way it works in the NFL.
Brilliant.
I'm all for it.
I would like to see a high stick one. Coach's challenge. Same threat. You lose your timeout if you're wrong. I don't know how you call that, though, because interference usually happens at the end of a play. Like,
well, I was just going to say...
High stick could be like somewhere in the middle, so I don't know. Like
Are you challenged that... I mean, are you looking at it as a missed high stick call?
A missed high stick.
Or a high stick call that shouldn't have been called because it was his own teammate rather than my team?
I'm thinking a missed high stick. It really doesn't work right now. I realize that, but I'm just... What comes to mind is the number of times that... Like that Montreal game, Ottawa got like 2 4-minute penalties for high sticking because they drew blood. Okay, fine. But why is it when Ottawa player gets high stick and they drew blood?
Still
blood? No, they don't even see it.
Well, it's because he's wearing red. You can't see it on the sweater. Oh, no, we were in Montreal. Can't say. Don't know.
Did you guys hear the epic rant by Luke Pristy?
Yes.
Nope.
Okay.
Show it to him later.
Yeah. I think I might use that as bonus material. I need his permission, but.
Yeah. But in the rare chance that you listen to us and don't listen to Luke and Chet, just download the last episode.
Yeah. Epic rant at the beginning.
Oh. We'll play it for you after.
Okay.
And I don't know if you heard this new rule proposal, the Ron Francis one. For face-offs, instead of being always a visitor team, puts their stick down first. In the defensive zone, the defending team puts their stick down first. That gives the offensive team the advantage.
That would especially be interesting at the beginning of a power play. Almost guarantees possession of the puck, or a much better chance of possession of the puck at the beginning of the power play.
And also on icings. Where you're gassed.
Oh, I hadn't thought of icings, yeah. You're gassed and you're at a disadvantage of getting the puck back.
Yep.
I noticed Boston was doing the face-off cheat flaw thing. This is going back to the game last Tuesday where they intentionally put a winger or someone that they know is going to get thrown out of the face-off just to give themselves an extra 10 seconds of rest. Get in there, flub the face-off, get out.
But there's a consequence with
it. If they do it again, it's a penalty.
Well, they're also supposed to be pushed further back, are they not? Or was that a rule that didn't get adopted?
I don't even know.
I remember hearing about talk about that, but I don't remember whether it actually happened or not.
They were doing it.
We'll have to see whether these rule changes actually happen, because it has to go to the competition committee now.
Oh, the competition committee is going to love all of these.
I would hope so, but you know, that's never a guarantee. We've already found that out. So, you wanted to talk about your jersey trade promotion.
Yeah. Mm.
So I have no idea what this is.
This was an idea that I had. I asked Dan and he said no. But especially with the Sens doing well right now, do a type of promotion where you bring in your Leafs jersey, trade it in for a Sens jersey and free tickets or a discounted ticket, something like that.
I love it.
Trade it in for a free sweater?
Yep.
You see, I would see people thinking of trying to do that at Christmas time. Go out and get a ratty old Leaf sweater off Kijiji or eBay or whatever.
Very limited time frame.
Because a lot of fans are just fed up with it and looking for.
I don't think they're allowed to though, right?
I asked Dan about it. He's like, I think apparently they tried it a while ago, a couple years ago.
Well, I thought there was something like this.
There's got because it's kind of against the other team, but I don't know. Just kind of create something like that just to try to change allegiances. And yes, I know the RSU will say that you don't want these fans because they're turncoats and they're Leafers first and whatever. Get over it.
Just try to
get more support.
Yep, as opposed to people who create the atmosphere of a drunken frat party. Yeah. That's just my personal view of my experiences with some of these folks. But that's just... I'm not painting everybody with the same brush. I'm just painting some of them with the same brush.
I am.
Okay, well, there you go. That's an interesting thought. Anything else you want to talk? Next! Didn't go over all that well. We've read all the email, have we not? 1, 2, 3. Yes, we have.
Yep.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Please get me a good Chinese takeout place.
There are lots of them near me.
Ho ho! Yeah. Chinese restaurant.
Oh,
no, that's in No,
it's on Richmond Road.
It's in Richmond Road, though.
Between Woodruff and the
Carlingwood area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not too close for you.
Still North American, though.
Try Fu Yen. I don't know if they'll come down this far, though. North Canada.
All right, I'll figure it out.
Anything from the Facebook page?
No, just log in.
Well, at least you're ahead of me on that one. That's good.
Kevin Lee's selling something, but that's not necessarily
all right. Oh, that's not necessary at all. The week to come?
Oh.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Was it they had the Select-A-Seat event this past weekend. I guess I was the only one that went, though.
Now, that's where if you're a season ticket holder, you can go and see which seats are available if you want to move, or if you're a new season ticket holder saying, I want this one?
Either or. No, it's if you're existing season ticket holders half season. They lump those two together. You can, your seats are reserved and guaranteed, but you can go in and see what else is available if you want to switch.
Move somewhere else.
Yeah.
Kevin Lee is trying to sell an Ivan Chernik signed autographed card.
Yeah. Okay.
How does this kid have these things?
He's got a big collection. He was tweeting one a day for over a year.
But what was neat is I did get a chance to see the aforementioned Dan Julian. He dropped by. He actually recognized me before I got to him. And went down and saw my rep. So it just kind of nice to see the faces.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I bumped into him one game, but we were both running, so.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I wouldn't know him if I walked up and saw him, so. Because I have no facial recognition skills.
That's true.
In the week to come, then.
Do you want a Colin Forbes signed card?
I beg your pardon?
Colin Forbes.
Is that that NCAA goalie?
Nope.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm still going through Kevin's stuff. It's kind of neat.
Okay. Not interested.
Didn't even mean
we're him. Only at like an hour and a half. So.
The week to come. That's fine. People are already tired of this. The week to come, Thursday.
The biggest game of the year.
The Bruins are in town. 7:30 start. Saturday, the Leafs are in town. 7 o'clock start. Next Monday, the Sharks are in town. 7:30 start. And we should be recording, but just in case we aren't, next Thursday, the 26th, the Rangers are in town. I hadn't been looking that far ahead. So Bruins, Leafs, Sharks, Rangers.
Tomorrow night's where it's all at.
Yeah.
It's the
four home games.
Biggest game of the year.
It's terrifying. Don't do that.
Nice work. I like it. Before we go, and I haven't forgotten, it's just this is where it is on my list of things. I wanted to say thanks to Patrick Bednarik for his donation to the show.
Huge thanks.
We didn't use it for what you suggested, but Woodford Reserve is a pretty damn good substitute.
We did have bourbon, though, so close.
That's all right.
That is not what we use that for, but...
No. We didn't. Canuck brought in the Woodford Reserve so we'd have some bourbon to drink while we're doing this tonight, because that's always good. Keeps my vocal cords from sounding like I've been gargling Drano, which is never a flattering sound. Folks, I haven't asked for this in a while, so I'm going to ask for it now. If you haven't, please put in a review on iTunes for our podcast. A couple of reviews would go a long way to boosting our presence and ratings and everything else. So please do that. I don't know why Penn found that word boosting so funny, but anyway.
No, it was Luke, sorry.
Okay. Anything else? We're good to go? Folks, you can email us at podcast@senscollops.com. You can contact us on Twitter. You can join our Facebook group. Join the online forums at senscollops.com as these games have been more exciting and more meaningful of late. The game threads, we've had a couple of new people join them. There's still not a lot of people in them, but they do tend to be entertaining if the game is a little slow or you're getting a little frustrated and you need to rant, whatever.
I don't know how you guys keep up.
Well, it's much easier to do it than it's easier to do than 140 characters.
He's doing it on a laptop.
I use a laptop, not my phone.
I still don't know how you keep up.
Oh. It's all right.
He's got a table.
Exactly. I'm doing it. I don't have my laptop sitting on my lap. It's on the table. There's also the waiver wire. We got one call to it this week, but you can always call in, rant, rave, whatever you like. The phone number is 844-728-6565. That's 844-SCU-6565.
Donate like Patrick because it's good luck for the team.
Yes, absolutely. Because you want us to keep going.
They got to pay for these freaking hamburgers.
His hamburgers.
Oh my god.
Or bourbon for
never mind the website fees or anything like that. Bourbon and hamburgers.
Never mind the hosting and everything else that costs us every month. Let's have a sense of perspective. It's all about booze and food. In that order, might I add. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. Good night.
Later.
Robble, robble. Having a good time. Having a good time. Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger. Defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car passing by like Lady Godiva. I'm gonna go, go, go. There's no stopping me. I'm burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees, that's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm traveling at the speed of light. I wanna make a supersonic man out of you. Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Rabble, rabble. And go.
Quick, take a slug of whiskey. That'll be entertaining for the other two of us.
Oh,
good to go.
Crying. Free.
Easily amused you are.
It's hilarious. How do you think I'm doing this? Ha ha ha!
Some questions are better left unanswered, I think.
Oh, good Lord.
You're right.
Hoy.
Since call up episode 15, take two.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Oh.